petition number 11748, rule 17.
Rule 17.
This place, furthermore, 300 miles south of Kargil, towards India, and on the river called Zanskar River. Zanskar River came from Padam. It flowed into Padam from Ladakh, from Khalsi side, Khalsi and Leh side. It flowed into towards Padam, towards Kangra River. And the only way we thought, the commander before me had thought, that Indians could send a relief force for Leh was through this road. So they thought of sending these 40 Balti irregular troops recruited then and there for emergency. Under their Jamadar, Ahmad Ali was a pioneer, he was a pioneer battalion during the World War II, to go and occupy Padam. He had about two-inch mortars with him, two-inch mortars, ammunition, and 303 ammunition for his rifles, plus about three Bengals he had total. This Zanskar River gets frozen during the winter. From September onwards, the river is frozen, till about June, July. At the time of ceasefire, we could not get word to those people to cease firing and come back. They were miles away, no telephone communication, no wireless communication. So the Indian brigade commander told me that they are a bit of a nuisance, that he had sent messages to them with people that there's a ceasefire, and if they would like to cease fire and stay there, or he would arrange for them to come back to Kargil, and to they could reach me then. But they refused to listen to him. In the meantime, Gurkhas had made two attacks against him, and they halted both attacks. Padam village was predominantly Muslim village in the Buddhist area. So they got the cooperation of the local people. And Gurkhas had gone from Zanskar River, which was frozen, after the ceasefire, reached there, but they couldn't break through. They were holding the defile going into Padam village. So when the Indian Brigade commander told me then, so I said, all right then, I'll send him a letter. You send this letter to them. So I asked one of my chaps sitting there at this meeting with the Indian Brigade commander. He had come to meet me in my area. So they said, yes. And this man, without prompting from me, gave exaggerated, he made an exaggeration the numbers of ammunition they had. And the Indian Brigade commander told me, yes, they were pretty liberal with their two-inch mortars and small arm fire. So we came to an understanding. In the letter I'd written, that you cease firing with your arms and ammunition, carry your personal weapons, nobody will take it away from you. I've got an understanding with the Indian Brigade commander. But leave your ammunition there, counted up and everything. Because Indian Brigade commander had promised me that when they come to Kargil and they're marching up to my positions, he'll give them the same amount of ammunition to carry with them. Very generous, very chivalrous. Very chivalrous. But when this letter got to him, the Jamadar Ahmad Ali refused to agree. He said, no, he doesn't believe in me. Who is Major Ismail? Who is Major Ismail? Never seen him, never set eyes on him. So then the matter stayed there, and these poor devils were fighting till the month of July. Till a month after I left Gilgit's command and I came to Pindi to command a battalion there. These people are there. Then a Captain Murtaza from Gilgit Scouts went there personally with the Indian escort, reached Padam, explained to them, and they came back with him. Absolutely, they honored intact, unsullied with their weapons, and they arrived back in their own area. This, I think, is a saga of a very brave, sustained courage by untrained troops, completely irregular Baltis, and Baltis were never known for any fighting qualities and fighting civil wars and guerrilla wars, ever in the history. But that was a really great saga of sustained bravery by these people. This, I said, I must mention towards a concluding part of these tapes.
Could I ask you about the question of alleged divide and rule in the Indian Army? Because some people say that the British adopted the policy of dividing and ruling by putting different communities in different platoons, and that this was an example of their divide and rule. Is that how it appeared to you as somebody who served in the Indian Army?
Yes, it did and it did not. Because they did it, but they had such good and imaginative organization, and the leadership afforded by the British officers was such that even the troops in one battalion, for example, a company of Dogra Hindus, a company of Sikhs, a company of Punjabi Muslims, and a company of Pathans, got on extremely well with each other. They belonged to the same battalion, and their companies were separate. They are commanded by British officers. Their company officers and platoon commanders or Viceroy Commission officers from their own class. And they, the British, in their sportsmanship spirit at its height, as it always is, they had encouraged a sporting competition among them. Under the same banner, the same colors of the same battalion, but they were different yet the same when it came to playing games. First between among themselves, Punjabis, Pathans, C Company, D Company, A Company, fighting against each other, winning, applauding, feeling sorry for when they lost. But when it came to another battalion, the battalion team consisted of all the four classes, and they played the games, hockey, football, with the same vigor as they'll fight into a battle together. And that was inculcated in them intelligently, and as much as the troops didn't feel any difference.
Would the troops have been happy to have been mixed together, Sikhs and Hindus and Muslims all in the same platoons?
It was tried. I did not see it in the Indian Army when I served in it, but I saw it later date Pakistan Army. Today, they mixed the Pathan and Punjabis up. And their mixing them up has brought them no particular efficiency. In my own battalion, 2nd Baluch, whose colonel I had remained from 1981 till last year, 1989, I was the colonel of my battalion. When I went and saw the Pathans and Punjabis and even Hunza people mixed in one company, to my mind, they were not as happy, a happy lot. It wasn't purely my imagination. I would go through the company lines and meet people. A Punjabi shake hands with me, a Pathan shake hands with me, and then odd Hunza shake hands with me, Hunza from Gilgit area. For example, a Jamadar Rustam Khan Pathan, who was fighting in Zojila, and he got a decoration equivalent of an MC. And he brought me his grandson. I put his grandson in the Baluch regiment. And another chap came, I put his son in the Baluch regiment. And both these chaps are in my battalion, 2nd Baluch, later called 7th Baluch. When I saw them in 1981, they were kind of unhappy. Hunza people stuck in between Punjabis and Pathans in the same company. To my mind, I not my prejudice or anything, I think that that did not bring a very healthy thing.
But in the old Indian Army, would the Sikhs and Hindus and Muslims have been happy to have been in the same platoon?
No, not certainly not. Because the Hindus had different habits, different eating habits, Sikhs had different eating habits, and Muslims had different eating and dietary habits. They had different temples, Sikhs had a different temple, Dogra had a different temple, Punjabi and Pathan had a mosque. And when I went in the Indian Army, long before I went, they were in separate classes. For example, A company Pathans, B company Punjabis, C company Dogras, D company Sikhs. Like this. And they have their separate temples to pray their, to say their prayers, separate kitchens, separate manner of worship. And when they fought, when they went to battle, the A company right, B, C company left. And like this, they marched in fighting, giving their own particular war cries. Jai Ram Ji Ki, the Hindus will say, Dogras, and Vaheguruji, the Pate, the Sikhs will say, and Yali, the Punjabis will say, and Pathans were very blessed of a slot. They would abuse and cuss, and they were going to battle. As I told you the story of Piggy Heath's East Yorks, that they were using four-letter words, but they were going in. So like that. But I think personally, myself, my own experience, it would be better if you keep the classes separate. Because that brought out healthy competition among them. Even in battle, for example, my own experience of the first 11 Sikhs. 11 Sikhs were one class battalion of Sikhs, but in their fifth battalion, they had one company of Punjabis. And this company was commanded by an officer called Taj Khanzada, Captain Taj Khanzada, Major. He went into battle against the Japanese. The one Sikh company went to ground. Second Sikh company went to ground. These Punjabis were commanded by Taj Khanzada in the same battalion. Without his orders from his CO, he turned around to his company, he said, look, the Sikhs are going down, let us Punjabis show them how they go to fight. They went to the Sikhs, slapping with a bayonet, and chased 500 Japanese out of the forest, and they collected his bicycles and motorcycles. For this action, we were about 3 miles behind them. I was waiting for the Sikhs to come to, and I saw Taj. He was wounded with a grenade shrapnel in his nose, in his cheek, and his steel helmet, his strap was off. And I asked him, how's it go? He said, he chased the things out of existence, the damn Japanese. And he was given an immediate award of DSO that very night by the High Command. And Gordon Bennett, the Australian Division Commander, sent him a bottle of champagne, which he didn't drink, and passed on to the British officers. So that was a competition between the Punjabis and the Sikhs in one battalion. Like this, there are umpteen examples where the healthy competition between the two. Now, for example, we went to an attack in Machang, I've told you earlier on. Our A company went the Pathans, and C company the Dogras. And they both went to one right, one left, and they went to the same forest and took on the same bunch of Japanese. And the Dogras collected decorations, IOMs. Pathans collected IOMs. The Pathan company commander, the British officer got an MC. And so on and so forth. This created for a healthy competition. And it was inculcated into them by the British officers.